Please turn with me in your Bibles to 2 Peter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3. What we are about to hear is God's infallible, inerrant word. Beloved, I now write to you this second epistle, in both of which I stir up your pure minds by way of reminder, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the by the holy prophets and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. For this they willfully forget, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, by which the world that then existed perished, being flooded with water. But the heavens and the earth, which are now preserved by the same word, are reserved for fire until the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat? Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, in which righteousness dwells. Therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, be diligent to be found by him in peace, without spot, and blameless. And consider that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, as also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given to him, has written to you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to understand, which untaught and unstable people twist to their own destruction, as they do the rest of the Scriptures. You therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, beware, lest you fall from your own steadfastness, being led away with the error of the wicked. But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be the glory, both now and forever. Amen. Let us pray here so that the Lord will open up his word to us. Dear Heavenly Father, we confess we're blind to this word without your light. We're hardened to this word without your power. We cannot understand it without your wisdom. And we pray for that this morning. We pray that you would fill me with the message of this text and also fill the people here with the sound of your voice in the Word by the Spirit. O Lord, cause us to receive this Word unto your glory and honor. Open my tongue to preach and our ears to hear. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Christ is coming quickly. Look up. True Christians, your Redeemer will return, wearing crown upon crown, with his robe dipped in blood. He rides a white horse. His name is the Word of God. He will come upon the clouds. As lightning shines from east to west, all eyes will see him. His enemies will perish. His people will be saved. Yes, it is a day of joy for the Christian. It is a day of such joy as you have never experienced in this life. This is the word of which Peter speaks. It is the final word, the word concerning final things. Indeed, Jesus himself says, "Behold, I am coming quickly. My reward is with me, to give to every man according to his deeds." Oh yes, Jesus is the Alpha and the Omega. He is the first and he is the last. And this word that Peter writes concerns the last things. Are you watching? Are you ready for Christ's coming? Today, we tend to think it will never happen. We live in a time in which we are so concerned about our lives here that we think that maybe things will just keep going the way they are. And so, beloved, this is a very challenging text for us. It cuts very close to home for every one of us. And Jesus knows that. He doesn't give this word to upset us or to cause us to be angry at Him, but rather because He loves us. He knows our condition and He knows where we live. So He causes Peter to write, "Beloved, I now write to you this second epistle, in both of which I stir up your pure minds by way of reminder that you may be mindful." Yes, 2 Peter chapter 3 records God's final word. First, it is scoffed. Second, it is sealed. And third, it is sought. With these things in mind, let us now look for Jesus and walk according to his final word. Well, first, Peter says that in the last days, scoffers will come. Indeed, Peter is mapping out what happens up to the point at which Christ returns. Think of it this way. Through Peter's pen, you, beloved, you get a glimpse, you get a look at the final glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. And this glory shines onto our lives. It shines into this time and this place. And the first thing Peter tells us is that there are scoffers coming. Yes, the light of Christ shows us the broad road to destruction. And on this road, there are clowns. And these clowns are marching as a troop, as an army. Perhaps you've heard them laughing. Perhaps you've been one of them, even like me. These clowns aren't funny, though, because they mock Jesus. They say, "Where is the promise of His coming?" Yes, when they hear that Christ will come again, they start to giggle and they start to laugh. We've all heard the jokes about it's going to be a party in hell. We've all heard those jokes, and they're not funny. Oh, my friends, the second coming is deadly serious for sinners. And so we try to laugh it off, but we mustn't. Even though this is the spirit of the age, we must resist this temptation to wonder, is He coming back? We must rebuke this spirit and say, Christ is coming again. Well, these scoffers, these clowns, aren't content just to attack the word concerning the return of Christ. You see, they start at the beginning of the Bible. They say that God didn't really create all things. Look at what Peter says. He says that they willfully forget the Word of God. They willfully forget by the Word of God all things were made in the beginning. They forget the flood. They forget that the earth standing in the water and out of the water, the world that was then being overflowed with water, perished. Maybe you've seen it in the movies, the Noah movie, a mockery of Noah, of all people. We've seen it in our classrooms, a worldwide flood. If you've ever taken a geology class or sat in on one like I have, you would know the first rule of geology is that the worldwide flood didn't happen. Now, why is that? Why do they do that? Well, Peter says that the creed of these clowns is that all things continue as they were from the beginning. Look at verse 4. That's a very important verse. They say all things continue as they were from the beginning. That's quite an assumption, isn't it? How do they know that? Well, they don't. They just assume it. It's like this. You know, God causes the sun to rise today. He caused the sun to rise yesterday. Therefore, we know for sure the sun's going to rise tomorrow. Or we can think of it this way. People die today. People died yesterday. That means people will always die. There isn't going to be a resurrection. You see how this works? If all things continue on as they are today, there can be no coming of Christ. They're just physical laws, chemical laws of the universe keep on operating the way they are. And there's never an end point to this creation. You see, the scoffers twist the Word of God. They deny it. And they twist the message of God's creation. I have some textbooks at home that say the fundamental rules of scientific investigation are that there are no miracles that you can consider in the way things really are. You can't consider that God really does anything with this world. That's their rule. It's out of bounds. And I say this because I myself have abided by this rule in the past, in my unbelief. I wanted to believe that all things would continue as they are today. And we can be impacted by this when we hear of certain people on the internet saying, oh, God wasn't really there in the beginning. That's not scientific. But Peter warns us of this. He knows we're going through this. By the Holy Spirit, he addresses our time. My friends, I want you to think of it this way. You who are children, maybe you can think of it this way. Suppose your dad is going to buy you ice cream every day this week. That sounds good, right? Does that mean that he's going to buy you ice cream every day for the rest of your life? Well, we know better than that, don't we? And does that mean your dad has always bought you ice cream every day up to this point? No. And so it is with our Heavenly Father. You see, He gives this world its form and He fills it for as long as He wants to. He made this creation and He can change it at His will. He does change it. Do you remember? He changed water into wine. He raised Lazarus. Tell me, what laws of nature were obeyed at that point? No, He changed nature. He made it what He wanted. And that's what these scoffers willfully forget. And we can be impacted by that. Indeed, I have myself. Yes, we need to pray for our land. We need to pray for America. We need to pray for Europe. We need to pray for everywhere this lie has gone. Because this lie is destroying our churches. It destroyed the church in which I was raised. So I warn you of it. Peter warns you of it. That God gives this creation its shape. He upholds it. He directs it only as long as He wills. Well, Peter tells us what's going on here. Why is it that these scoffers scoff, we might wonder? Well, think of the clowns. They're on this broad road to destruction and they're slipping around in their own filth. They're sliding down into the pit on their own lust. That's what's really happening. You see, it isn't because of a great, intelligent argument. It isn't because we just can't believe what's in the Bible. That's not true. The truth is we don't want to believe it. The scoffers scoff because of their own lusts. They want to be known as being academically respectable. I know this. I wanted academic recognition as a student of physics. But I hid behind that facade my own sin, my own lust. Now, what kinds of lust do these scoffers exhibit? Pride? Yeah. They want to push God out of the picture, out of the equation, because they want to be God. They want to determine the way things are for themselves. There's lust, there's sexual immorality. Don't discount that. Think about all the things in our own community, maybe even in our own lives. We live in a very lusty time. We're lusty people. We can be motivated by greed or lies. Oh, my friends, these scoffers are not neutral people. They're people who want to rebel against God, like we read in Psalm 2. They want to rebel against the King Supreme. They want to say that God didn't make all things. God didn't flood the earth and Christ isn't coming again. We must resist these lusts, our own lusts. We, We can't go and figure out somebody else's issues. We need to figure out our own. We need to pray that God would identify our own lusts and bring to light these things that we've been blind to in our lives. Well, second, we need to believe the Word. Yes, Peter tells us that the promise of the coming of Christ is sealed in the Word of God, in Scripture alone. You see, through Peter, Christ's final glory casts its light upon the Bible. Look at that pulpit Bible there. Pretend on the back of it, on the cover, there was a golden seal. It says, God's Word. Scoffers might want to take that seal off, but there it stays. God's Word cannot fail. Christ is coming. God's Word cannot err. He made all things by His Word in the beginning. Yes, in Scripture alone, God seals His final Word. Look at your Bibles, Genesis 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Peter's reminding us of that. By the Word of God, all things were made. In the past. Look at Genesis 6 through 9. By the Word of God, the whole world was drowned and destroyed by the flood. Look in the Old Testament. Everywhere you look, you will see the words of the holy prophets spoken before. And now look in 2 Peter 3. We have the commandments of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, every one of those 67 books of the Bible is God's Word. And this gives us assurance that Christ is coming soon. You see, God's Word is the final Word, not just about final things, but about everything to which it speaks. It is the final Word on theology. It is the final Word on creation, on history, on redemption, and especially on the second coming. For the Bible reveals our rock, the eternal Word in our flesh, redeeming, rising and returning. Therefore, do not forget this one thing. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some count slackness. As verses 8 and 9. Yes, God exists above time. Because He exists above time, we must be very patient for His promise. We must wait patiently for the coming again of Christ. That's hard for us, isn't it? We're impatient people. When somebody's in front of us at the grocery store in the checkout line, we can want to jump up and down. Oh, will you hurry it up now? But Peter shows us that patience is a virtue. It is a virtue when dealing with the second coming, with the coming again of our Lord. And we must wait as long as it pleases for His Son's return. And when that happens, the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Truly the heavens and the earth, which are now preserved by the same word, are reserved for fire until the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. Yes, God testifies that He will have the last laugh. He will laugh best. All mockers must be aware, for scorners will be punished in the fire that burns forever.
My friends, look at the sky. Look at the earth. Next time you go outside, look at all the wonders of God's creation. And remember, these things aren't going to be there always. God is going to tear them down to give us a new heavens and new earth. You know how it is. You have a house, and the house can last for a while, but in this world it will go into disrepair and eventually will fall down. No matter what you do with it. And this world is going to be torn down like a condemned building. And it's going to be replaced. It's going to be remade, reformed, reshaped, refilled by the Word of God at the coming again of Christ. Oh, do not set your hearts on this earth. Set them upon the coming of Christ. Live there where righteousness dwells. That is the eternal home with Jesus. Peter also tells us that God seals His Word, His final Word, by grace alone. Now we can wonder, why hasn't Jesus come back yet? It's been 2,000 years. Why so long? Well, first of all, God doesn't have to tell us that. But through Peter, He does. He tells you that it's because of God's eternal grace for sinners. That is why God waits to send His Son again. You see, the Father has given the Son a people to redeem by His grace alone, by His unmerited favor. And every single one of Christ's redeemed will be gathered. Every single one of them will come to faith. That's why we wait. There are multitudes that will be around the throne of Christ in the last day. And we're waiting, dear believers, for our brothers and sisters that are to be in Christ, to come to Christ. We need to wait for them. We need to wait for Christ to gather His own. And if you're getting impatient for the coming again of your Lord, why don't you get out and get more involved in mission work? Get involved in evangelism. To see those people gathered to Christ. Those are the things we can do while we're waiting. We don't have to sit around getting frustrated. We can wait in patience and persevering, praying for all of God's own to come to Christ. Yes, my friends, consider that the long suffering of the Lord is salvation. He is not willing that any should perish, but that all of His people should come to repentance. Well, finally, 2 Peter 3 tells us that the final word is sought. Yes, people seek for the second coming. The saints seek for Christ to return. For Christ's glory as the way, the truth, and the life will come in His fullness at the last day. No one goes to the Father but through Him. And Christ tells you that this is the Christ tells you in His Word that this is the way to prepare for the coming again of our Lord. We're told that we need to be found by Him in peace, without spot and blemish. You see, Peter tells us that there is a narrow way. There's a narrow way to salvation. And that narrow way is the person and work of Jesus Christ. The way to enter that way is faith alone. Receiving Him and resting upon Him alone for righteousness before God. Peter says, God delights for people to come to repentance. If any of you here are on that broad road, you need to make a U-turn. You need to turn around. You need to get away from that road. And you need to find the narrow way, the road to life, the holy road of Christ's perfect works for sinners. Oh, my friends, trust that though your sins be as scarlet, that Christ's blood makes you white as snow before Him. My friends, though you're sinners in yourselves, trust that you are righteous in Christ. For sinners seek the return of the Lord by faith. For you see, when you come to faith in Christ, when God gives His Word and judges you to be perfectly righteous, that judgment isn't going to change when He comes back. He gives you the verdict of the final day today. And that verdict you will have when Christ returns. Isn't that comforting? It is for me. Think about it. If you really thought about it, that the heavens are going to be rolled up like a scroll. That He's going to burn everything down and then remake it. He's going to melt it down like an artificer of brass. He's going to take this world and melt it down and recast it. That should be very disturbing to us. We like to have our lives settled. And we're sinners. We deserve that fire to consume us forever and our worm never to die. But if you're found in Christ, in peace, this day of judgment is the most wonderful thing. It is the most beautiful thing. It is the most glorious thing that you could imagine. It is the fullness of your redemption. Christ has gone to prepare a place for you, dear believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. He's gone to prepare a home that will never be burned down. And it will never collapse. And so, Peter tells us what sort of people we ought to be. What manner of men we must be. Seeing that all things are coming to an end. Seeing that Christ is returning. Seeing that those who believe in Christ stand righteous before God. We need to cultivate holy lives. We need to cultivate godliness. We need to keep from falling from our own steadfastness. Part of that is looking at the letters of Paul. Peter tells us to look at the letters of Paul. Are you familiar with them? Romans, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, and so on. Be very careful with them. We don't want to confuse what it is to trust in Christ and what it is to have our own works stand before God. We don't want to confuse the covenant of works and the covenant of grace or the law and the gospel. We want to be doctrinally faithful in our time. We want to hold fast to the days of creation in Genesis, the global flood of Noah. But even more, we want to cultivate holy living. You see, while those who walk on the broad road slip and slide in their own filth, those who walk on the holy road of Christ are to live so, growing in holiness. Here's one question that you can ask yourself to help you to aim for a more holy living. This question is, do I want to be doing that when Christ appears? Do I want to be doing that when Jesus comes back? Apply this question to every area of your life. Think about your eyes. Do I want to be looking at that website when Jesus returns? He could come at any moment as a thief in the night. He could come right now. He could come tomorrow. He will come suddenly. He will come unexpectedly. He will catch many people off guard. And therefore, we ask this question. We think of our hands. Have I labored diligently in my calling? Have I used my hands to help others? We think of our tongues. Have they spoken the words that are true? Do I really want to be held accountable for these idle sayings when Christ returns? Think of our heads. Have we filled them with the world's lies, or have we filled them with the Word of God? Think of our marriages. Have you cultivated your relationship in a godly way according to His Word, so that when He comes back, He can say to you, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." And this one is a challenge too. Think of how we are entertained. And I say this to myself as well. Do we really want to be listening to those songs? Do we really want to be watching those movies when Jesus returns? Yes, this is a question with which to challenge ourselves. You know what Martin Luther said? He said if he knew Christ was coming back tomorrow, he would plant a tree. Why would he plant a tree? Well, because in the beginning, God gave man dominion over this creation. And Luther wanted to be found doing those things that God had given us to do. And that's what Peter is really saying. Cultivate godliness and holiness in your life. Pray for that measure of the Spirit to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. As it says at the end of 2 Peter 3. Dear friends, this is what I want to leave you with. Peter records God's final word. He tells us of Christ's second coming. Men may scoff it, but God seals it and saints seek it. Remember the last days. These are the days leading up to the last day. They are the days between Christ's ascension into heaven and His coming again. Peter lived in the last days. The people to whom he wrote lived in the last days. And you and I live in the last days. Therefore, beloved, we are to be looking forward to these things concerning Christ. They are our blessed hope. They are the promise of everlasting bliss. My friends, what has happened to the church? Did you know 100 years ago, people used to get up each morning and think, I wonder if Jesus is coming today. Come, Lord Jesus, come quickly. But do we? Are we ready for Him? Believer, look for Jesus, your Savior. He will wipe away your every tear. He will give you life in the resurrection. We need to pray for and expect the return of Jesus. Let us not think that the world will just keep spinning or that the clock will just keep ticking. It won't. Christ is coming. He's coming quickly. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise. Amen.